This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson, and joining us on the phone now, as he does each and every Thursday, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. How we doing, Tom Curran?
Tremendous. I think that was Stevie Wonder's Do I Do.
It was.
Was the instrumental there.
You got the thumbs up.
The dentist office version. Tom.
Nailed it, brother.
You got the thumbs up from
Stiz.
Do
I Do.
Good stuff.
Good job, Tom.
So
you do.
Thanks, guys.
You are doing tremendously. Did the Patriots do tremendously in the draft? Everywhere I look, it's like people are tripping all over each other to tell me how great the Patriots draft was. A+, best GPA. They got 5 starters, all of these things. Was this draft as good as everyone says it is?
He asked skeptically and with not with a little more than a hint of smarm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think? Everybody gets together and they all decide together? I think that independently, you look at the Patriots, how bad they were, how many needs they had,
yep.
The fact that they addressed those needs, and the players that they got to address them were all, virtually all, taken at their value or after most people projected them to be picked. So to me, that's all you have to go on. So these draft grades that are so quickly dismissed because we don't know how these guys are going to turn out. No, easy.
Yeah. I already swore once today.
No one knows how it's going to turn out. All you can base things on is, did they take players at positions of need who seem to be good players? We all hammered them in 2022, or at least had measures of doubt when they took Cole Strange and Tyquan Thornton and Pete Strong and every other guy.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, I think it's fair to if everyone looks at it and says, seems like they got a bunch of good players at spots they needed them, mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing.
I agree with you, Tom. And you and I were kind of lockstep on the draft, and particularly that first pick, the fourth overall pick. You and I liked, Tyler Warren, and that was kind of our guy. And so they go with Will Campbell, who's the chalk pick. And are you kind of like me? And maybe I think a lot of people, I said this to Andy on the flight back from Green Bay, felt like, after rounds 2 and 3, and they get Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams, it almost makes you look at the Will Campbell pick at 4 a little differently, and almost kind of just says, oh, you know what? I'm fine with Will Campbell because of what they got in the second and third round. Did you have a similar type experience, and what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, take, for instance, Braden Swinston. And now I'm calling him Swinston because it's either Swinton
it's Swinson.
Or Swinton, so now I've just Swinson. Pushed them together.
Yeah.
So say they took him in the second round. He was a 13.5 sack guy at LSU, and the Patriots took an insane reach. Instead of taking him in the 5th round, far after he was projected to go, they took him in the 2nd. So they walked out with Will Campbell and Braden and Kyle Williams. You would have said, why would they spend that pick on the defense? Instead, they learned from their free agency deficiencies and immediately addressed them. It was all too logical, in what they did. And we saw so many illogical Bill drafts over the last 12 years. And really, there wasn't a lot of logic behind what they did last year in terms of who they took and when. Certainly, Drake May was a logical pick in the same way that Will Campbell was a logical pick. But after that, they seemed to miss the boat on some projections and tried to get too cute for a team that wasn't good enough for cuteness.
So, listen, Tom, it'll be kind of fun to see if Ashton Jeanty and, you know, Arianti Ursary will pan out better than Will Campbell and Travion Henderson. But I'm very happy with the draft, as I think are most local Pats fans and beyond. As far as today went, Drake May, first media avail, first presser of the season. What did you think of how he composed himself 30 minutes, tardy and all?
I composed, in control, comfortable. I thought he was frank and sincere about the things that he said. I thought that it was noteworthy what he said about Mike Vrabel, that you could tell that he said that you could tell that Vrabel has a vision, and you can tell he's an experienced head coach. And we're always going to look at things through the prism of, is that related to the, should that be compared to what he experienced last year? And maybe you can, but it's still worth noting that there does seem to be much more organization and a purpose to what's going on right now than the team that Drake May joined last year. So I thought that was interesting. I also thought the Elliott Wolf comments on Drake's leadership that he gave to Sirius XM Radio were interesting too, saying that, you know, Drake last year maybe stepped back with his leadership and let it come to him, and this year we're going to expect more from him. I just talked to Phil Perry about those comments for a while, and Elliott Wolf did say we've already seen that he's going to be a better leader, and we expect him to be. But, you know, Phil made a good observation. It's like, so they expected him to come in and be a leader, but they put a guy in front of him and said, he's our starter.
Yep.
Until further notice, he's our starter. And then they got mad at him halfway through camp because he was deferring to Jacoby Brissett. And by the end of the camp, they're telling him, okay, you outplayed him, but you're going to sit. So the mixed messaging and the notion that, hey, we wish he was a better leader last year, but he will be this year, it's another thing where Elliott Wolf, at least, and I'm not speaking for Vrabel on this because Vrabel wasn't here, but Elliott, you guys are the one who set it up that way. Don't bitch now that he wasn't a great leader or an outspoken leader last year.
Tom Curran,
I love that point. Love
NBC Sports Boston here on WEEI Afternoons. And my question actually ties into that nicely because that's an example where they want a guy to be a leader, but there's somebody in front of them that's already kind of a leader that they've emboldened. This year, it seems like the exact opposite. My buddy Ted Johnson was on the forefront of this, kind of blowing all the leaders out of town. And we saw another one this week with Joe Cardona, but we know David Andrews and Bentley and all these guys. Do you think that will work? Is the natural leadership of this team something you're confident in? Because I do think this is kind of like you sprayed Roundup and the dirt is bare. Now, do you have good seeds to grow or weeds just going to grow back in a year? How do you think the leadership will evolve with Drake May and whoever else takes that bull by the horns?
Well, it's funny because Teddy was on this a long time ago and I kind of dismissed it. Teddy's like, oh, it looks like they're getting all the Belichick guys. I'm like, nah, they're not doing that.
Yep.
I mean, Vrabel's a Belichick guy. He's a Patriot guy. He's not going to disrespect guys. He's going to keep them around. Ted was exactly right. They were absolutely clearing the decks and moving guys out. I do think that in doing so, and I'm not here to besmirch the guys who were stuck on a bad team in Joe Cardona and David Andrews, but the team went 4-13 the last 2 years, and those were your leaders, and the team was dysfunctional. So it's not their fault the team sucks so bad, and I don't care if you had General Patton in there. I don't know if they would have done any better. But it's hard to say, well, we need that guy as a leader with the teams coming off 8-26 over the last 2 years, especially if they're older and are eminently replaceable. So I don't blame them for making that decision if Vrabel is of a mind that I don't want younger players or other players to feel that they have to be deferential to people who, because they've been here a while. Because I can't imagine that they're looking at those guys and saying, we don't need you. We don't like you. Don't come around here no more. But they are moving on from them. So I do think that they have on the offensive line with Campbell, with Moses, guys who can lead. Garrett Bradbury is a veteran. Cole Strange might not be a great player, but he's a good fella. He's not going to be a pain in the ass on when he should accept the leadership mantle. Defensively, I think that Williams is being paid as a leader, and every time I've heard him talk, I've kind of enjoyed listening to him. So I think that there should be plenty of leaders who can assume the roles that the Patriots are asking for them and to jump in the places that Vrabel has cleared spots for them to be in.
Tom, I have some. I work with some co-hosts, some colleagues that feel that Drake May is got diva qualities to him, and I don't feel that way. But what are your thoughts? What have you heard, or what do you think of Drake May's just overall, I don't know, disposition? Do you see him as a diva, a high maintenance type of player, or are my co-hosts and colleagues horribly wrong on that?
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of time to kill sometimes in that industry that you sometimes are involved in.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, how do you kill that time? Well, call the quarterback a diva. Play the hits. He grew up the son of a quarterback at North Carolina State with high-profile athletes in his family. I don't think he's been coddled. I don't think that when you look at his record at North Carolina, not his on-field record, which was 7-4 in his last year, but the fact that there was so much turmoil and dysfunction there, and he never said poop. He never said a thing. He just went about his business, never pointed fingers, laid blame, laid around and flopped on the ground like a salmon after getting hit. And you didn't really see that last year either. So I just want somebody to show me one scintilla of evidence that Drake May is in some way a diva. Because the Patriots, if you think that them moving on from Joe Milton is somehow a smoking gun for Drake May needing everything to be perfect around him, I would counter with this. The Patriots organization blew up a first-round quarterback who might have been a third-round talent anyway, but they blew him up because they made his life so friggin' miserable that they had to draft another one a couple years later. So why not try and overcorrect and make things easy for the next guy?
Yeah, Tom, I would ask you more about that, perhaps, or even Elliot Wolf's job and job security following what was a lauded draft, but we're not talking about that. What we probably should talk about real quick.
No, what was that? I don't get that.
That's me being Jordan.
Oh.
That was the proper response.
Yes, that's exactly the proper response. So, Tom, you were the first one to surface a few weeks back here on our station during one of these afternoon chats that you'd heard whisper or tale that there was a little frustration with how things were going in the land of Chapel Bill. Well, now here we are a week later and easily the most viral CBS Sunday morning interview since the days of Bill Geist and Charles Kuralt, goes out of control with Belichick and Jordan Hudson. So
today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What the hell? What do you think about what's happened? And what do you think the next steps will be?
I wonder how much Bill really needed to write this book in the first place. That really is the crux of the issue. You know, when you read the emails, it's clear he didn't want to call it The Art of Winning. It's clear that the publisher at the point of a bayonet forced him to do that. He said that in the interview. He didn't want to call it that. So they convinced him to write a book. why he needed to write a book now. Don't you usually want to strike while the iron's hot when you write a book? Not after a 4-13 season, a firing, a moving on from the greatest player of all time, ruining a quarterback, and winding up in college. The art of winning would have been more pertinent then. Now, Bill, it's going to be hard to sit down when you're 7 years removed from the last Super Bowl win in early 2025 and have people ask you about all your life lessons in winning. We know about them. It's do your job. It's ignore the noise. It's worry about yourself. Put the team first. No days off. We get it. What happened? So that's why people were focused, Bill, on the I effed up chapter. And I think that this really is something that Bill somehow got coerced into. Just if you read the tenor and tone of his emails to the publisher, it almost smacks of, you know, you guys asked me to do this. I did it, and now it's going exactly like I thought. Everyone wants to focus on the negative. It's not my fault. It's yours. You made me do this. So fix it. And he should have taken control of it and said, no, I'm not writing the book. Why don't I have a little success here first, and then we can get into the art of winning and stuff. But someone convinced him to do a book, and either he willingly went along, happily went along, or reluctantly went along. But he went along. And now he's surprised that everybody except for Susie Welch wants to ask him about his girlfriend and his relationship with Robert Kraft. Surprise! The iron is not hot enough for Bill to be striking on the topic of winning.
Tom, but it's reached the point where even friendly media member, like a guy like Charles Barkley, considers him a friend, is saying this is a slippery slope. He might reach out to him. My co-host has wondered if North Carolina might reconsider their decision to hire him and have him lead their program. Do you think this is spiraling out of control for Bill?
I would presume that this is as close to out of control as it will get, but I think we could always be surprised, because I think Bill is combustible now and doesn't have enough people around him to guide him on, yeah, you don't really need to say that. Mike Lombardi is a terrific media personality. I always enjoyed talking to him. I like to consume his stuff because he'd say anything.
Yep.
Jordan Hudson at 24, given that she was with a network news magazine, thinking that if she piped up, that was not going to be used. I mean, Bill understands media more than anybody. I was saying this to Jones and Keith the other day. Every time I talked to Bill off the record, he would go continually off the record and on the record in a way that nobody I've ever talked to really seemed to understand. When you're doing an interview, if someone wants something off the record, they say, this is off the record. And then the journalist has to say, yes, off the record. You can't use it. The journalist doesn't nod or assent. There is no agreement there. Bill would wait for the journalist to say, yeah, this is off the record. And then if he wanted to go back on, or if he said something, he said, can we put that on the record? He understands what on the record means more than anyone I've encountered in sports that I've ever covered. So she thought she was just going to pipe up and they weren't going to use it. It's a news magazine. It's not Patriots.com.
Hey, whoa, shot across the bow.
It is not a shot across the bow. Patriots.com is an arm of the Patriots.
It's true.
They're going to shoot you straight, but they're also there in large part to make the team and organization and its employees look good. And right. So that's why Bill had right of first refusal on things all the time. You don't have that with a network.
All right, Tom, appreciate you joining us this week. We'll talk to you next week when I think we'll know who the Hall of Fame inductee is going to be for this year. A quick prediction before you go.
Ooh, no, and I'm not going to be with you next week.
Oh, you know, Liv, you're on vacation, right? Just don't want to talk.
I'm going on vacation.
It's none of your beeswax.
All right.
That's what it is. Hey, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Ted.
I got your back, brother.
All right, Tom, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
See you, man.
See you, guys.
See you.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Curran.
Good stuff there.
NBC Sports Boston. Yes, some very interesting comments on the draft on Bill Belichick. We'll react to a little bit of that up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Oh,